Hey, it's Craig. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Canadian History X early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. Greetings and welcome to another episode of Canadian History X. I'm going to play something for you and I want you to sit down because you're going to get a shot of nostalgia. You're going to be transported back to the 1990s. You're probably young, you're in school, maybe you're home, it's the summer holidays, you're watching TV. And then this comes on.
Body Break with Hal Johnson and Joanne McLeod.
Skiing here at Lake Louise is only one of many winter activities there are to enjoy. But regardless of the activity, proper clothing should be worn to ensure safety and comfort.
Wearing several layers of light clothing is more effective in keeping you warm than one heavy layer. You'll lose less heat and be able to adjust to the changes in temperature. Here are a few rules to follow.
I would say for anybody who grew up in the 1990s or was from the 1990s, there are three big things that are instant nostalgia. There's the Red Green Show, there's the Heritage Minutes, and there's Body Break with Hal Johnson and Joanne McLeod. For me, these are two of the most famous people in Canada. And we all know who they are. We know their song. We know so much about them. And that's why when I was able to interview Hal Johnson for the podcast, I was over the moon. Because I was interviewing somebody from my youth. Somebody that I had seen on TV literally hundreds of times. And it's a fascinating story, and I'm not going to wait any longer. I will say, if you want to support the podcast, you can. Go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX to help keep this podcast going. But other than that, let's get right to it. The first question is, how did you get involved with fitness, and where did that interest in fitness and athletics come from?
Well, I've always been involved with sports, everything from basketball, baseball, football, hockey, lacrosse. If there was a game, I wanted to play it. And so fitness was simply just kind of an offshoot of that. As I played for Team Canada and so forth, training became part of your lifestyle. And so it was really about sport and activity more than fitness and training that Body Break was around. It was around activity. It was around having fun. It wasn't as much physical fitness per se, but it was our big idea was to combat sexism, racism, and persons with disabilities, showing that we can all live, work, and play together. So it's been described now as a kind of a Trojan horse that we. You thought it was all about fitness, but it was about a lot more than that.
Absolutely, yeah. What makes fitness so important to teach from a young age?
Well, if you rest, you rust, and so it really gets your mind. It reduces anxiety. It makes you feel better. The endorphins kick in. It's like if there was a drug that they could prescribe, it would be the number one drug in the world. If people would take it, if you could get the feeling that you get when you're physically active, if they could do that with a drug, everyone would take it, and the results. You feel better, you look better, you have a better attitude, less anxiety. So at a young age, getting kids physically active will certainly stimulate and make them better students as well in the classroom.
How did Body Break break begin, and was it tough to get it off the ground? I've heard some of the requests that they had and such with Body Break, but was it kind of tough to get it going?
Yeah, it was. I didn't think of it as tough at the time. It's just it was just here's what we have to do to get it. It was groundbreaking. It was different. It was something we wanted to do. I said to Joanne on June 8th in 1998, I said to her, this will change your life. That was the day we came up with the idea and the concept of the show. I said, this will change your life. And that was one thing I said. It was very true. I just knew it was going to work. It was, when you have a passion for something and a vision, no matter how many people say no, they're just not, I always looked at it as that I didn't do a good enough job to explain it to them yet, because if they knew what was in my mind, they certainly would be on board with Body Break.
And you kind of mentioned that some of the, you have the main goals of fitness, but then you have these other goals of more or less kind of changing how people think about certain things. But what are some of the main goals of Body Break?
Well, it's really, as I said, to show that people can live, work, and play together, regardless of your ability, your race, your sex, male or female. We can all do it. We're all equal. And it was really, that was the genesis and the idea of the show, and wrapped up in a physical activity, because everyone needs to be physical. As we see with during the pandemic, regardless of who you are, health is the most important thing that we all have. And so why not wrap these messages that we subtly gave to Canadians in a message of fitness?
For me, growing up in the 90s, you know, there's these things that you remember from the 90s, like the Heritage Minutes, Red Green Show, and the Body Break segments. Were you surprised by how popular the segments became?
Yeah, we hit a niche in the terms that the stations needed us, because they were short 2 minutes per half hour when they played American programs. And I was able to get Body Break as a 90-second program. So the stations won, and they would play it so much. We were being played 1,500 times a week on 140 stations across the country. So it was really, you know, at the time, you just... Body Break's on, Body Break's on, Body Break's on all the time. And we used to get letters from people, people would send us those things called letters, not emails, and they would say to us, I'm in Peterborough, Ontario, or I'm in Red Deer, Alberta, and I keep seeing that same Body Break. Can you change it? I go, well, sorry, I have no control over what the stations play, sometimes they'll play the same one, 7, 8, 10 times a day, the same Body Break episode. So, and people, one of the things which I find, fascinating is when people see us or whatever I'm doing, people will say, oh, that's, the music is in my head, Body Break. And they it's almost like they can't get rid of it. It's like, oh yeah, it's like, it's there. So, and music was a big part of the show as well. It's something that Dave Clark, who wrote the music, and I got together, and I said, I want it to be happy, uplifting. I said, I want it to sound similar to September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. With lots of horns, lots of upbeat. I want it to get you to move and be happy. That was really the description of what I wanted the theme song for the show to be.
How did you come up with the segment ideas?
Well, two ways. One is we've wanted to figure out what activity we wanted to do and how much fun we wanted to have. So let's say, I say to Joy, do you want to go to Whistler and do skiing? She goes, oh, okay. How about some cross country? I'm some hiking. Okay. So we went out to Whistler and we shot for 2 days and stayed out there for 2 weeks. And so that's basically what we did. We would figure out what was inappropriate, what people were thinking about or what was hot at the time. There was no Google, to figure out things. You had to figure it out for yourself. And we'd figure out what do we think people would be interested in? In spring it was gardening. So we'd take an activity and then we would think, what is the problem with this activity? Well, if you're a gardener, you've been perhaps not exercising, not doing those same movements all winter. Here's a stretch for gardeners lower back or hamstring stretch that you might want to think about doing before you do your gardening.
Was it strange when you started to have people recognize you on the street?
It happened very quickly, within a couple months, people were recognizing back in '89, because we did the shows in first ones in '88, but they didn't actually hit the screens until April 15th of 1989, and by that summer, we were walking around and people would know who we were and recognize us, and we thought, oh, that's kind of nice. But Joanne and I never an attraction for us. It was never. They were important. One of the reasons is that I remember when I was on Team Canada And I was at the University of Colorado. I was a scholarship athlete, and you know, I thought I was a real big deal. And then in my university days were over, and then now I'm going for I'm working selling computer systems, and I'm just a regular guy. And I came down from that being special guy to being just an ordinary person. And I vowed if I ever became, you know, well known again or felt I was special, it's no big deal. And don't internalize it, because mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. And so that was kind of how we've always, Joanne and I both always felt about, you know, being known across the country. It's flattering. People are very nice to us all the time. And rarely do you know, people talk about Twitter horror stories. Rarely do I ever hear or anything negative about us, or people hate us or don't like us. It's like, oh, Hal and Joe. It's like, I feel like I'm Captain Kangaroo or the Friendly Giant. You know, it's like, that's how we've fortunately endeared ourselves with Canadians, which is really nice.
Kind of in relation to that, beyond the cultural significance of Body Break in Canada, what do you feel is its lasting legacy?
I think it's, hopefully the legacy is that we can all live, work, and play together. That's really what I hope it is. I said to Joanne when I put out the video 2 months ago on YouTube, mm-hmm. Is that, and I had no idea that it would explode like it did. Is that I put it out? I played golf in the morning. I released it on the YouTube channel, made it public. And by the time I got home from the golf course, which was like an hour and a half later, I had like 4 camera crews in the back of my house looking, you know, I'm going, what's going on here? Like, you know, and TSN went crazy, and the vice president contacted me, and all kinds of different things happened. I had no idea that would happen. And what it really told me was that, you know, Canadians, those who grew up with us really think of us as part of their family. And it was something that we almost, that the TSN did to one of their family members. It was very humbling, and very, very nice, the support that we've gotten from people. And I guess the shock that it was, you know, people were, oh my God, Hal and Joe. I mean, people were racist towards them, and that was kind of, it kind of shook people up, which was, mm-hmm. which is great, you know, that they realize it. And you know, a lot of people said, well, gee, I didn't even know you were black. And I go, well, I am, and I've been that way for my entire life. And that's why it wasn't really surprising to me, you know, facing racism. In fact, the first job out of university was in Edmonton.
Okay.
And I was selling, my first job was selling for a company called CanLab, which was American Hospital Supply, which supplied all the laboratories in north of Edmonton. And I was their sales representative. So I was going to Grand Prairie and Lac La Biche and Fort McMurray, Barrhead. I know all those towns. But I had to get an apartment in Edmonton. Well, when I first got there, I called in the paper, and I said, can I, I'm looking for, you've got a one-bedroom apartment available? Yes, the woman said, yes, we do. I said, oh, great, when can I see it? And she said, you can come by tonight, 7 o'clock. I said, well, that's great. Before I got off the phone, she said, you're not a football player, are you? And I said, no, I don't play football. I hung the phone up. And yet what I knew was what she wasn't saying, are you a football player? She was saying, I hope you're not black.
Yeah.
Because when I got to the door, I knocked on the door. She said, I thought you said you weren't a football player. I said, I'm not a football player. I sell hospital supplies. She goes, we don't have an apartment, and slammed the door in my face. And so that, I mean, it's funny because it was a euphemism for, you know, she didn't want to say, I don't want black people in this building.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes, I don't want football players because, you know, they're all black. And so it was, you know, and I've, you know, we've, you face it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I find today it's much more subtle than it was back then. But one thing my dad said to me, he says, don't take the baggage on of somebody else. So don't carry their bags. So that woman has a problem. That's her problem.
Yeah.
Then don't make it my problem. So, so I don't. I just move on.
You really touch on with feeling like you're part of the family, because for me growing up, you know, when you're homesick or during the summer holidays, you know, we would see you and Joanne all the time on the TV because, like you said, you guys are you have those clips running throughout the day. So you become part of the, you know, growing up, you're like Mr. Dress-Up in some ways to a lot of people of my generation. And so when I was telling people, like, well, I'm going to be interviewing, you know, Hal Johnson, they're like, well, I remember him, and I remember Body Break, and there's all these positive memories. So then when, you know, the story came out 2 months ago, it's like you said, it's like, well, you're attacking somebody that, you know, we grew up with, that we admire, that we relate to, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and that was, it was such a nice kind of positive feeling from everyone, you know, and I feel that way that, you know, I'm not bitter at all, mm-hmm. at all. What I think about is the people who faced the same things I faced and even worse, but weren't fortunate, didn't get the good breaks that I did to move on and be very, you know, like we've been successful with, Body Break and all the endeavors that we've been a part of. Mm-hmm. So all those people that were turned down at TSN or wherever, or you know, or weren't promoted in their job because of they have a disability or because they're female, or all those people that where did they end up? What course in their life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's it was funny. I've got a buddy of mine. He's a white guy. He's like 5'8", 5'9", and he says, he goes, oh, you know, and he actually vote for Trump. I told him, he votes for Trump again, you're no longer my friend. But I said, he goes, well, you know, it's kind of the same for me because, you know, I'm short. I said, no, it's not. You know, it's like, it's just not the same. You know, like, you're not denied things because you're short.
Mm-hmm.
Some things may be more difficult. It may be more difficult to get the, you know, get the Charmin off the top shelf at a grocery store. But I said, it's not, it's different. And just as it's different for a female, I mean, mm-hmm. the things that women go through, thinking I've been in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meetings, sponsor meetings, marketing meetings, all kinds of meetings. And most of the time, I am underestimated.
Hmm.
And so I use that as an advantage. That's what I often think of, is that use your weakness as an advantage, as a strength.
Mm-hmm.
And what your strengths are can often be your biggest weakness. And so, you know, my expression, lay low and make dough. So be, you know, kind of under the radar. Don't try to prove that you are smart. Or don't try to prove them wrong. Just, you know, just, and so that's how I looked at it, that I was always underestimated, especially with negotiating contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Always underestimated. And I would be, I'd walk out of the deal and go, boy, that guy, what a goof! But I got a better end of the deal. You know, you know, I just knew it. I mean, I did one deal I was involved with, and the guy wrote a check. He thought it was a big wheel. Wrote a check for $25,000 and literally threw it at me like, I'm gonna pick. Oh wow, you're gonna give me this. So I turned around, I looked at the check, and the way the Asian culture does it is when they pass you the card, they pass it with both hands and you're in to view, so you can view it.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn the card around. Well, I did the same thing with the check. I turned it, placed it with two hands, turned around to him, and I said, well, no, it's okay. When we get down to some serious negotiations, you know, we can talk, and you don't have to cut the check today. But I knew he underestimated me, and I played to his strength, you know, what he thought was his bravado, and I ended up with a much larger deal.
It's always a bonus.
That is.
Um, So do people today, do they come up to you and tell you that, you know, you got, you, the two of you inspired them to get into fitness or into media or in some way? And what is that like for you guys to still be, you know, reaching people and talking to people so many years after Body Break?
It's rewarding and humbling. I think that's the word I use all the time. It's that Joanne and I are just little Hal and Joe working away like beavers. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the 90s and 2000s, we were just working away, just doing, you know, just doing our job. And you know, the funny thing now, like with whether it be Twitter or Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, there's so many touch points that people have today with people. Back then we had, you could send us a letter or send us a fax. You know what I mean? And that was it, you know? So it's so different today having so many touch points. And so, you know, and what we've done is we've encouraged, you know, people to go to our YouTube channel, you know, and subscribe to our channel, because we're putting up all of our old Body Break episodes. We have over 300 Body Break episodes and 39 half-hour shows and videos and exercise videos and so forth that we're uploading every week. We're uploading new Body Break videos. So we've our old ones, and we've got some new ones that we're doing as well, some new things. So yeah, so we've. And it's interesting because you go back and we look at them and people comment on them and say, gee, that was, I remember that one when I was a kid so many times, or that recipe, or that, you know, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's at the time, you know, certainly Joanne and I never thought we had an impact at all. And it's only in kind of a reflection do we feel that, you know, that generation that grew up with us, we may have had a small impact in a positive way in their growing up.
Absolutely. And you kind of mentioned it, but what projects do you guys have on the go right now?
Well, we're doing a lot of Zoom meetings, type of thing. We're doing a lot of, we do a lot of corporate speaking across the country. Well, now the corporate speaking is coming to our kitchen. And we're doing a lot of talks from our kitchen. I just finished one an hour ago, and so we have our whole production studio set up, and we do a lot of those. And then we're going to be doing new body breaks. We call them virtual body breaks, where we will be doing things that people do from their desks. Oh, nice. All exercises and things you can do from your desks, and we'll be sending those out to people that have corporate meetings. So if you have a corporate meeting and it's like a 2-hour, 3-hour, whatever meeting, we'll be kind of like a little body break in between the speakers and different presentations that you'll do, that we'll have some fun with it. So nice. we're looking forward. We'll be shooting those. Actually, Joanne is right now in the office writing the scripts for those virtual body breaks. They're going to be fun. We're going to be on a golf course with a desk. So we'll be like, we're at a desk, but we'll be at a golf course. And then we'll talk, here's the exercise you do. Oh, and let me grab my tee box, boom, and hit it. So to have some fun with, because realize when you do it, you know, when you're sitting and watching a screen, you know, it's you've got so many distractions. You got the kitchen. You got your kids. You got so many other things. How do you keep people glued to their meeting and energized? So that's what we're going to be doing. And thought, well, that's kind of a fun thing for us to do.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Hal Johnson. And if you did, please give a rating and review. You can reach me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can visit my website, where you'll find hundreds of articles on Canada's history. Just go to canadaehx.com. And again, you can support the podcast for as little as $3 a month. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. Just like all of these wonderful patrons have. Aaron O'Hara, Robert Dunseith, Todd Casey, Catherine Roy, Luke S., Vic Hedges, J.P. Bear, Jason Hall, Phil Maynard, Spencer M., Renee Beliveau, and Iris Gray. Thanks, and we'll see you again next time.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.